to the book of Psalms. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Praise the Lord. I can't believe it's already Tuesday. And one more night of the meeting. It just seems like we got started just a little while ago, doesn't it? But time moves on. So one of the blessings of heaven is that there'll be time no more. And we'll step out of time into eternity. Won't that be something? And we won't have to be conscious of time anymore. And if we want a fellowship with somebody about 500 years, it won't make a bit of difference.
That's right.
You'll have just as much time to go as you did when you started. Amen. There won't be any less time. Won't be no such thing as time. Well, we'll have to have a glorified body to figure all that out, but praise God, it's going to be real one of these days.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm heading that way, aren't you? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Psalm 42 and verse number 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, excuse me, for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mazar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful to be back in the Lord's house tonight. God, You know every need on every life this evening. Thank You for the good singing that has blessed our heart. And I pray for these dear ladies, O God. I pray You'll provide the need they have in their life. Give them, Lord, the transportation that, God, is necessary for them to get to the places that You want them to go. I pray You might undertake on their behalf and minister, Lord, to the glory of God. And Lord, I pray that You will bless now every heart that is present with us tonight. God, I ask You, Lord, to touch us. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to be able to preach tonight. I know I can't preach without Your help. And I pray for divine anointing and power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, You'd manifest Your presence here among us in a special way. And if there's a soul in our midst tonight that is not saved, I pray for them. Oh God, I pray You'd get a hold of their heart, that they'd see their need of the Lord, and that this might be the glad hour of salvation for that soul. Father, have Your will and way in every heart and every life, and may God be glorified For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I'm sure as you have read this passage with us tonight, that you can see that it's obvious that David is a discouraged man as he writes these words. He's very discouraged. Verse number 5, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And verse 6, he said, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me." In verse 11, he says again, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And so David is going through a very discouraging time. It comes to God's people. No matter how great a Christian you are, there are going to be times when you feel that your soul is cast down within you. This was a particularly difficult time for David because these words were written, many believe, during the time when Absalom had taken David's throne and David had to flee Jerusalem in exile, leave the throne and leave the place of worship. And David, of course, with his own son trying to take his life. There's no wonder David was discouraged, and he said, "My soul is cast down within me." But as I look at this passage, there's a lot of things we could say, I think, tonight about why he was discouraged and what he was going through and how he expressed that. You know, it's interesting to me that David said, "My soul is thirsting for God," more than missing the throne. He missed the worship of God, leaving the place of worship and the house of God discouraged him more than leaving his throne. David was not a man who was eat up with himself, so to speak, in the sense that the power and the prestige of the throne did not matter as much to him as a place to worship. Amen. David wanted to worship God more than anything. But as I look at this psalm tonight, and we'll get right into my thought here if I can, I want you to notice with me that there's two key phrases in this psalm that I believe help us understand what he's talking about. In verse number 6, you'll notice the word, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down." Now, the phrase "my soul" and "my God" are mentioned in that verse. My soul and my God. And in this psalm, Psalm 42, 6 times he uses the phrase "my soul." 6 times he talks about "my soul." But in Psalm 42, he talks about God 14 times. He mentions either "my God" or "God" or "the Lord" 14 times in this psalm. 6, of course, is the number of man. But 14 is God's number of perfection doubled, amen. And so God certainly is quite able to minister to the need of man's soul. But with that in mind, look at verse 7. I believe this is the key to the psalm where David said, "Deep calleth unto deep." And so I want to try to preach to you a few minutes tonight on a cry from the depths. A cry from the depths. And I want to give you my thoughts under just 3 headings, if I can. I want you to think about, if you will, for a minute, I want you to think about the soul of man as being a great deep. And then I want you to think about our great God as being a deep. God is a deep, a depth. And then think about David's cry for God's strength and help, the great cry that he makes. Now, first of all, I want to say tonight that the soul of man is a great deep. He said, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." The soul of the individual is a great deep. Somebody said one time that when God created man, he made man with a big old hole in his heart. And the only thing that can fill up that hole is God himself.
Amen.
That's why David said, my soul is thirsting for God. Amen. He wasn't thirsting for power. He wasn't thirsting for riches. He wasn't thirsting for prestige. He wasn't thirsting for anything this world could offer him. But his soul was thirsting for God. Amen. I say to you, the soul of man is a great deep tonight. Now, when we think about that, it's a great deep of need. It's a great deep of emptiness that finds no satisfaction in itself. The world can't produce anything that can satisfy the longing in the heart of an individual. A lot of people try to put a lot of things in there to fill up that void, to fill up that vacuum, fill up that empty place. Some try to put drugs in there. They try to take dope and try to fill up that empty place. Some pour alcohol in it, and some pour an immoral lifestyle in it, and some pour the material things of this world, and they think if they can get enough money, or they can get a big enough house, or if they can have a finer car, or whatever it is they can get their hands on, they think somehow that that's going to satisfy and fill that void and fill that empty place that's down on the inside. But friend, I want to tell you, a man named David, who was king of Israel and had the greatest kingdom of man known to man at that time, he had to say, my soul is thirsting for God. Amen. Nothing this world has to offer can satisfy the longing and the emptiness in the heart of the individual. And I'm saying to you tonight, the soul of man is a great deep of need. It cries out tonight, and only God can satisfy the longing that's down in the human heart. Amen. Nothing else can satisfy it. No siree. Everything else will disappoint you. It'll come up short. It'll leave you with a greater void and an emptiness on the inside. It will not feel the longing. And so the heart of man, the soul of man, is a deep of need. It's also a deep of potential. The Bible tells us in Psalm 64 that the heart is deep. There's a deep of potential in every human heart. You know, that's why a lot of times we have such an emphasis on wanting to reach young people, because we look at their life and they have, we see that they have their life ahead of them, and we say, what a great potential there is there. And the heart of an individual has a great potential for God, or it could have potential for evil, for the devil, for potential for good or bad, amen. A potential to love, and then there's the potential to hate. And, when you look throughout the course of human history, you see some that have been motivated by love, and others have been motivated by hate. Their lives have been filled with hate, and that has controlled their life. And so there's potential in the soul of man, potential for right or potential for wrong, depending on which way it's directed and which way it's guided. And, of course, the soul of man is a great deep of responsibility, because the decisions you make in this life are going to have eternal consequences. What decisions you make now will have eternal consequences in your life. And so there's a great deep of responsibility. And so the soul of man is a great deep. But then secondly, I think about our sovereign God is a great deep. He is a great deep tonight, this God that we're talking about. But let me try to insert a little something right here while I'm thinking about it to help you better understand what my message is all about. I want you to think about this tonight. When we're talking about the soul of man being a great deep, and then we're talking about God being a great deep, that's two different kinds of deep. In other words, when I think about the soul of man, I think about something like the Grand Canyon. You know, you ever thought about the Grand Canyon? Anybody here ever been out there and actually seen it. No, well, I never have either. I've seen pictures of it, and I've seen films of it, and I'm hoping, God willing, that I'll maybe get to go sometime later this fall. I've always wanted to see it, and I'm hoping that that'll work out. But when I think about the soul of man, I think about a deep like the Grand Canyon. And I know there's beauty in there and different things, but basically it's a big void. It's a big emptiness. It's a big hole in the ground, amen. It's a big vacuum, that's what it is. And it's like the soul of a man. But when I think about God being a deep, I think about a different kind of deep. I think about something like the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean is deep, but it's not an empty deep. It's a full deep. Amen. Oh, it's not a depth. It's not a depth of emptiness. It's not a depth of void, but it's a depth of fullness. It's a depth of energy. It's a depth of power. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, if man could figure out how to harness the power that's locked up in the Pacific Ocean, he'd never have to have another drop of oil the rest of his life. Amen. There'd be enough energy. There'd be enough power in that ocean. I mean, to turn all the turbines in this world. Amen. Brother, to run all the lights in this world. If man could figure out how to harness all that fullness of power and energy that lies there. But you know, they tell me that in the Pacific Ocean, that there's places that they've never found the bottom. It's so deep. The deepest point they ever did find was a place called Challenger Deep. And I think it was something like maybe 36,000 something feet deep. It was over 7 miles to the bottom that they measured there. You talking about a deep. Oh, but friend, I'm telling you tonight, the soul of man is kind of like the Grand Canyon. It's a deep of void. It's a deep of vacuum. But the deep of God, the heart of God, is like the Pacific Ocean. Oh, it's deep, but it's not empty. It's full of power and strength and energy. Amen. Glory to God. And so I think about the depth of God tonight. His thoughts are deep. The Bible said, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Psalm 92, he said, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. He said in Psalm 139, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. I'm telling you, the thoughts of God are deep. Amen. Do you know, the psalmist said, and the amazing thing to me tonight is that God thinks about me and you. Amen. He said that God had thoughts of us. And he said he didn't just have a thought of us, but he had so many thoughts of us that they can't be numbered. Now, I happened to be thinking one day, believe it or not, no, seriously. And I was thinking about this. I said, you know, as far as I know, I'm fairly confident that my governor has never thought about me. You know, Governor Easley, you know. Now, as far as I know, if he has ever had a thought of me personally, I'm not aware of it. I'm pretty sure he hasn't. Matter of fact, the congressman from our district, I think it's the 3rd congressional district down there where I live, down in the swamp, amen. But Walter B. Jones is our congressional representative and United States congressman. And as far as I know, Mr. Jones has never had a thought about me. And I know, I mean, I am really certain that President Bush has never walked into Oval Office and sat down and said, I wonder how old Jack's doing over there today. I'll guarantee you. I'm reasonably sure that he has never had a personal thought of me, not ever in his life. But you know what is so amazing to me tonight? That somebody far above the governor's mansion,
Somebody way up above the White House. Somebody sitting on the circle of heaven tonight on the throne of His glory. The Lord God Almighty that created this universe actually has thought about me. And He's not only thought about me, but He's had so many thoughts of me, you can't even count them, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, that does something for me tonight, praise God. Yes, sirree. Huh? Oh. Some of us tonight, if we had a personal letter from the governor or the president, we'd be bragging all about it all over town. We'd be running around showing it to everybody and telling them all about it. And brother, we've got something a whole lot better than a letter from the governor tonight, amen. We got something a lot better than a letter from the president. Glory to God, we've got a love letter from Jesus, amen. Got it right here in our hand tonight. Think about that. He thinks about you. He has thoughts about you. Praise God, amen. I tell you something that him stirs me up more than that. Look over in the book of Malachi right quick. I don't have time to preach all this, but I'm going to run over there anyway. Look in Malachi right quick. And look, if you will, in verse number 16. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Malachi 3:16. The Bible said, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." Now wait a minute. It's amazing enough that God would think about us. But to me, it's even more amazing that He would care about what we think about Him.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, you know, when somebody is self-existent and self-sufficient as God is, and He doesn't need any of us. We're the ones who need God. God was doing real good before I ever came along. And He's going to be doing real fine when I'm gone. You know, He's not the one in need of me. I'm the one in need of Him.
That's exactly right.
And the fact that He really doesn't even need me, but that He would think about me, that's amazing. But that He actually cares when I think about Him, praise God. And He cares so much about it that He's got a book of remembrance over yonder. And every time I speak to somebody about Him, and every time I think upon His name, He writes it in a book of remembrance, praise God.
Amen.
Do you realize tonight, the last time you was going down the road somewhere and you got to thinking about the goodness of God and how good God's been to you, the Lord called the recording angel over. He said, "Bring out the book, son." He said, "Open up the page over there and put it right there in the book that my youngin' was thinking about me this afternoon. I put down the date and time." Amen. And God makes a record of it. Huh? Praise the Lord. His thoughts are deep. Oh, yes, His wisdom and knowledge are deep. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. See, God's wisdom is so different from worldly wisdom. See, the world says if you want to get ahead, you have to learn how to project yourself. And the world says, you know, you've got to, what was that old saying they used to have about, I can't even remember what it was. Anyway, the world saying that, you know, you've got to be aggressive and you've got to go for it. And you have to exert yourself and put yourself and represent yourself, so to speak. But the Lord said that if you want to go up, The way you go up is you got to first go down. God says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. God says the way up is down. Huh? The world says, get all you can get, and get all you can all you get. Amen. That's the world's philosophy. God says, if you need something, give.
Huh?
You know, if you ever thought about God said, you reap what you sow. And most time, the only way we think about that's involved with sin. We say, well, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. But you know, it ain't just bad things you reap. You reap whatsoever a man soweth. And you know, if I was going to plant me a garden, I wanted some corn, I'd plant corn. And if I wanted me some beans, I'd plant beans. Right? Somebody said, nobody's ever nice to me. Nobody ever shakes my hand. Nobody ever smiles at me. Well, I tell you what you need to do. Plant some of it. Start smiling at somebody. Start shaking somebody's hand. Hey, man, praise God. Be friendly to somebody. Start planting it. Is that what you need? Plant it. Sow it. God said, whatsoever you sow, that's what you reap. Now, that's not the world's wisdom. That's God's wisdom. Amen. Pray. What do you need tonight? Huh? Just plant it. Sow it. Praise God. His love is deep. Oh, the depth of God's love. Deep enough to give Jesus to die. But now, here's the thing. The Bible said in verse 7, deep calleth unto deep. One deep is calling to the other deep. All right? You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, it's like this. The deep of man's need is calling to the deep of God's fullness. Huh? The deep of my need cries to the deep of God's fullness. Now, I got this here cup, got some little water left in it. If I was walking over toward the Grand Canyon with this cup in my hand, doing like that, and somebody said, Brother Jack, what in the world are you doing? I said, I'm going to fill up the Grand Canyon. Well, I'll tell you one thing, brother. You'll be here a long time. You know, it'd be crazy to think you could fill up the Grand Canyon with what you could hold in a man's hand. But neither can you fill up that canyon in your heart with what you can hold in your hand. But if I'd go out there somewhere on the coast of California and I'd hire me some guys that drive them big drag lines and some heavy equipment, and I said, now here's what the plan is. I'm going to dig me a canal from the California coast plumb over into Arizona, and I'm going to dig me a canal from the Pacific Ocean all the way to the Grand Canyon. They said, what do you plan to do? I said, I'm going to turn that ocean in on top of that canyon. Then I might have a chance to fill it, right? But it would take something big as the ocean to even have a, I mean, to even think that you could fill up the Grand Canyon. And the same thing with that canyon in your heart, friend. Nothing less than an ocean of God's love turned in on top of your soul can fill the longing that's in your heart tonight.
Amen.
Nothing you can hold in the hand of a man will ever fill that empty place in your life. Only God Himself can fill it. Amen.
Amen.
Only God. Now, when I think about that, the deep of my ignorance cries out to the deep of God's wisdom and knowledge. There's been a lot of times I've had to get down on my knees and I've had to say, Dear Lord, God, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know which way to go here. I had to say, Oh God, I don't have the wisdom. And Lord, I don't know what's the right decision to make. Oh God, would you please help me? Oh, Lord, would you guide me and direct me and show me which way to go and show me what you want me to do. Friend, I'm telling you, there's been a many a time I've cried to God out of the deep of my ignorance, but I'm going to tell you from the deep of His ocean of wisdom and knowledge, there's been times He's given me guidance and given me direction, and He's led me in the steps and the paths of my feet. The Bible said there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and the vulture's eye hath not seen, and the lion's whelps have not trodden it. But I'm going to tell you, it may be unknown to man, but it's not unknown to God. And the Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all you got to do is follow. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir, I've cried to Him out of the deep of my ignorance, out of the deep of my weakness. I've cried for His strength and help. I mean, when I've said, Lord, I don't have the strength. Lord, I don't have the power. I don't have the ability to do this. And I've said, God, would You please help me? Lord, would You give me Your strength? Lord, could I have Your help? God, would You give me Your power? Friend, I'm going to tell you, the Bible said I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The deep of my poverty has cried to the deep of His riches. Oh yes, my God shall supply all you need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Friend, I'm telling you, I've cried to the Lord when I didn't know what to do. I've cried to Him when I didn't know how to do. And I've cried to Him when I didn't have nothing to do with. And I'm going to tell you something, in every situation, God has proved Himself to be bigger than my problem. Amen. He's proved Himself to be greater than what my need was. The Lord has proved Himself to be able to answer my cry and come to my rescue in a time of need. Blessed be His holy name. Praise God. I could stand here tonight and give you time after time after time that God has provided needs in ways I had no idea how He would do it, but He's done it. And I thank Him for it. And then I think about this, the deep of my sin cries to the deep of His redemption. Amen. Oh yes, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, there's a verse over in the 38th Psalm. Let me just read it to you. And David was talking about his great sin in Psalm 38 in verse number 4. David said, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head." He said, "Mine iniquities are gone over my head." Now, you know, I've heard people talk about getting over their head in debt. You've heard of that? But you know, you can get in over your head in sin.
Right. Exactly right.
You can get in over your head in sin. David said, "My sins done got in over my head." David got in over his head in sin. But friend, matter of fact, when you study Psalm 38, and we're not going to read the psalm, but you'll find that in verse 7 it had affected his loins. In verse 8 it affected his heart. In verse 10, it affected his eyes. In verse 10, it also affected his mouth and his ears. In verse 16, it affected his foot. David said in Psalm 69, he said, "I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me." You say, what's the answer for a sinner that's got so deep in sin, it's done got in over his head, and he can't find a way out? He's like David was when he said, I was in the miry clay. He said, "I was in that pit. I was down in that old pit in the miry clay, just sinking down up over my eyeballs in sin." What's going to happen, preacher? Oh, I'll tell you what the answer is. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. I'll tell you, you can take the depth of our sin and plunge it in that cleansing fountain that flows deep with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And I'll tell you, the depth of His blood and mercy can cover us in the depth of our sin and shame. Amen.
Amen.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood. Amen. So what do we have here? Deep. The deep of man's need. The deep of this old Grand Canyon. Crying out to the deep of God's fullness. Amen. But he said, deep calleth unto deep. So it's not just one-sided. It's not just the deep of my need crying to the deep of God's fullness. But at the same time, the deep of God's fullness is crying toward the deep of my need. The same while I'm saying, oh God, I'm empty. I need you to fill me. God's saying, son, I'm full and you're empty and I can fill you. Amen. And the same time that the old sinner's saying, Lord, I'm a wicked sinner and ought to die and go to hell, God's saying there's a fountain filled with blood. God's saying you can be saved. God's saying I'm a merciful God and I'll pardon your sin. God's saying you can find forgiveness. The Lord's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest for your soul. God's saying, just come on. God's saying, I'm full. I can feel the longing down in the depth of your heart. Praise God, he can. Well, I'm so glad he can. He wants to do it tonight. You say, what is it going to take? Just to cry? Huh? Deep calleth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, that you're all powerful. You're all wise. You're almighty. And God, I thank you that you are deep and full enough to feel the longing in the heart of man. The psalmist David said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Lord, there's nothing else short of God that can satisfy the longing in our empty souls. So meet the need, I pray tonight, for some precious soul here this evening. Lord, there may be a Christian here that's going through a time when they need some direction. Maybe they need some strength. Maybe they need some provision from God. Lord, whatever they need tonight, I pray they might cry to God for it and find Him sufficient for whatever that need is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.